live at ATI 2011. This is Michael Off, and I caught up with Cheryl here, and we want to talk to you about a couple of things. We talk a lot on our podcast about seeing eye ponies, and there was some concerns because some places were trying to outlaw them for health reasons or something to that effect, but just a lot of comments came up about how that works and what kind of unique housing arrangements and things you might have. So we'll talk to you about this a little bit. Cheryl, how long have you had your pony there?
Actually, she's a miniature horse, and we technically call her a guide horse because seeing eye
is a trademark name.
So I want to get that straight. Yeah, okay. I don't want to upset seeing eye.
Good point.
So I've had confetti since she was 14 months old, and she will be 10 years old in May. So
wow, so you're definitely in the ninth year, it sounds like.
Right, and she's just hitting her stride.
Awesome. And so when you have a longer life expectancy, is that correct?
That's correct. I hope to get 35, 40 years for her lifespan, and I'm hoping that she'll work for at least 30 of that.
Wow, that's awesome. So how does it work? I assume people either want to come up and pet her or something, just like the issues that, that dog owners have, but it is maybe a little bit different.
It's a lot more because basically everybody's heard of a dog guide, and they kind of know you're not supposed to pet a dog guide, but no, very few people have heard of guide horses. So the curiosity is, and the interest is definitely there. And because of that, we try to be very patient and informative and educate the public and, you know, just let them in on it. And so far, the response is incredibly positive.
Wow, so how did the training process go?
Well, that's quite a story. I originally went to Guide Horse Foundation. They didn't have any horses for me at the time, so they said, well, you're number 74. If you want a horse, you'll have to find your own trainer, get your own horse, and we'll provide the training details for you. So basically, that's what we did. It took a year to find a trainer that would even attempt to train a guide horse. They were all like, you're crazy. You can't train a horse to do that. You know, so it was very hard, and I was just about to give up completely when we found the trainer. So once we found the trainer, then the next step was to get a horse. So we sent an email out looking for a special mini 26 inches or less to be trained as a guide. And I got just a few responses back, but the best one was from where she came from, JBR Ranch in Christmas, Florida. And they said, she's everything you're looking for, only she is 27 inches high. So I went running around the house, what's an inch? What's an inch? So I made arrangements to go see her, fell in love with her. Took a trainer with her, did the obedience, you know, the
field intelligence
test to see if she was viable to be trained as a guide. She passed with flying colors, so we negotiated with the owner to get her. And the stipulation in the contract was if she should not be fully trained at any time, that she would revert back to the ranch where she was bred.
So that about was a win-win months, situation, okay.
So about 3 months into it, I lost my trainer.
Oh.
She already had her basics. She knew her left, right, forward. And I lost my trainer, and I had so much time to find another one before I'd have to send her back.
So this wasn't a simple process. It's not like, there's not like a one school you can go to
dogs. It was not easy.
This takes a lot of initiative to get this going.
By the time I lost my first trainer, I was committed, both heart and soul, with this horse. And I thought if I sent her back to a barn situation, it would destroy her.
Right, and she was used to that.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the living arrangements.
She lived in our house. She has full access to us because we do not have another horse. And we are her companion. We're her herd. So she's very happy.
Because I've heard stories about people having to have special outbuildings. Like, I don't know if someone had an apartment, if they could legally challenge that.
The only outbuilding we have is where we store her hay.
Okay.
But you could use, I mean, it's like something you'd buy at Walmart or somewhere. You know, it's not elaborate.
Right. There's nothing that proprietary about it.
Right.
So let's talk about the cost for food. How much food might she eat in a month or whatever?
Well, I was curious about that myself when I first got her. So I did the math on it. And within $5, it's about the same as a dog.
Really?
Yeah.
And what does she primarily eat?
Hay, and we have a mineral substitute that we give her, that nutrients and supplements that a horse needs to be healthy. She goes to the dentist every 6 months, just like we do. And she goes and has her feet done, her nails trimmed. And she goes to the vet 4 times a year.
Do you have issues with discrimination going into certain facilities,
you
restaurants,
know, when
what
I,
have you?
When I first got the horse, I thought that was going to be a problem. But I'm relieved to report that she is overwhelmingly welcome wherever I go. As you can see by here, she's been very much welcome no matter where I go.
Now, what about when you're traveling in a public facility like this, as far as her needs to relieve herself? I've heard something that they actually, by law, have to wear a diaper. Someone else told me that's not true. How does that work?
That's not true.
Okay.
I have. I'm very responsible for her relieving. So I make it easier on myself and on her. I've invented a relief kit that I can carry with me, and at my convenience, I can relieve her, and I don't have to pick anything up. So it's actually, when I had my dog, I had to get on my hands and knees and look for it and scoop it, and, you know, that was not fun. This way I can attach it to her, she relieves into it, I unclip it, tie it off, and throw it away. So, very easy.
Wow, that's really cool. This. So you came up with this yourself?
I did. I invented it mainly because the very first guide horse made national news by having a poop accident on the plane. And I was going to be taking a plane that summer. And I said, that is not happening to me.
Well, that's a good point, because that's exactly the first thing I saw at the ACB convention in Jacksonville in 05, 06, whatever it was. And a big relief on the second floor. And I thought, well, this is not good. Certainly, this is not the norm. So, any other comments? There's really no problems. It sounds like it's been a very good experience. You mentioned the foundation. Where is this located? How would people get in touch with them just to get the training if they have the motivation like yourself to go find the horse and the trainer?
Well, as far as I know, the Guide Horse Foundation is only interested in providing the training details. You can go online to GuideHorseFoundation.com and get the training details, and any professional horse trainer can train a guide horse.
So
it's very expensive and very difficult to do.
That was my next question. What was the cost for the horse and to pay the trainer to spend the time?
I was very lucky. My horse trainer wanted a community service project. And so I was very lucky, but I've known people to spend thousands of dollars having a horse trained.
Wow, when you're talking about 30 years of service, that's really amazing.
Well, I'm looking forward to having many more years with her. With good care and good blessings, we'll grow old together. I call her my guide for life.
That is awesome. So I guess the only other thing I would ask you and your husband, Chris, here, if you've been attending the event, what, if anything, got your attention at this year's ATIA? Is there anything that you came particularly for, or any exciting news that you found out here?
Just the new technology, and I just saw that the OCR by Optelec that really impressed me.
Oh, the
clear
device
viewer.
It looks like it looks like a little boombox.
Yeah.
Thing. Yeah.
Very impressive.
Yeah, that was a cool little device, certainly. What about you, Chris? Anything?
I'm just loving it.
You just like tech? You like me?
I love
like
tech. I'm techie, and I've been into computers since 1979, and programming and playing with and networking and bulletin boards and all of that stuff. And so my eyes are like so wide. I couldn't close my eyes if I wanted to.
The problem is always there's never not enough money to buy all the toys you see here, but
You've
it's really
got
cool
that
just to
right.
see what's
not
going on.
Not enough money and not enough time.
It's more for the dream list.
Exactly. So you local here to Orlando, or how far did you travel?
We live in Jacksonville.
Jacksonville, okay. So you came down. So I'm really surprised, I must say, that you've not dealt with any discrimination.
It's been amazing.
It's kind of a surprise to us, too, because we were expecting a lot of opposition, and we've got nothing but the opposite. I mean, we have been...
Welcome.
On a cruise ship, we've been on an airplane, we've been on a city bus, we've been paratransit, we've been to Disney World.
And they were teaching
we've
their people.
We've been to Cypress Gardens. I mean, just, you name it. We've been
to Disney World restaurants?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, Cracker Barrel is one of our favorites. We've been to several. We've been to luxury hotels. We've taken her to a rock concert. Tom Jones, the Four Seasons. We've done it all.
Wow, that's pretty cool. I think that's about all I have here for questions, but I certainly thank you for taking the time. Do you know how many other guide horse users there are in the U.S.? Any?
As far as I can tell, there are about 7 that
really?
I know of.
Right, that's the key, that you know of.
Right.
And are most of them in this area or just kind of all scattered?
Or? They're scattered.
They're scattered, okay.
Yeah.
I want to thank both of you for taking time out to share this with our audience. This is really exciting. And I'm glad now that we actually have some reliable information to provide other than our opinions and thoughts of how things might work. It's been very informative.
Well,
thank you very much.
It's very important for you
here.
To get the real thing.
Exactly. Exactly.
Because, the NFB back in 2001 passed a resolution saying people shouldn't use horses as guides. But they based it on information that was not complete. And they based it on one organization. And because of that, they said, no, people would be stupid to get a guide horse. But I think now, because we have actually been to NFB conventions with Confetti, they've seen her and they love her. So, it's something that they jumped the gun on.
That's really important because as guide dog users, they can set the mood and say, I really don't feel like educating and training today, but you really have an obligation to spread the word. You really feel that you do anyway.
People that follow us to have a good example before.
Exactly. I thank both of you very much for taking time out of your busy schedule here.
It's been a pleasure.
Awesome. Thanks a lot. Live from ATIA 2011 in the very last interview before I go hit the airplane. This is Michael Law for the Cerotalk.com blog and podcast.